We talk about baseball performance all the time on this show, but what about performance in the bedroom? That's right. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew is the first chewable with the same active FDA-approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. They can be taken anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Yes, I actually know someone who has tried this product and they have extremely positive things to report about its effectiveness. The best part about Blue Chew is that it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so there's no more visit to the doctor's office, waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness around this topic. Blue Chew is made in the United States and prepares and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit www.bluechew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB, and try it. It's free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. From San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic, this is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. The MLB postseason is brought to you by Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code POSTSEASON at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100. Coming up on today's show, we have a little bit more managerial talk to get to. There was an article written by Andy Baggerly in The Athletic about Ron Wotus, who is reportedly going to interview with Farhan Zaidi and the Giants' inner circle today in San Francisco. So I just kind of want to break down some of the points that are made in this article, which essentially pushes the point that it may be the right time for Ron Wotus to finally get that managerial opportunity. The first thing, however, that I want to discuss is that it was reported by Bill Shaken of the LA Times yesterday that Raul Ibanez is not going to be a managerial candidate for anybody this offseason. He has said that the timing is just not right for him. So yesterday I came on the air and said that I considered Ibanez possibly the favorite for this job, and it had been reported by Alex Pavlovich that he was believed to be a target of the Giants. And I kind of took that to mean that he was open to that possibility, but I guess that he was not. So it really shows what I know about all of this. This type of hire is really hush-hush, and we don't, unless we have a confirmed report of an interview, then we're really just grasping at straws and we don't exactly know who makes up the candidate pool. So we do know about Wotus being a candidate because Farhan Zaidi said it himself along with Hensley Mullins. But beyond that, we basically just have guesswork. So Wotus has been a Giants coach since 1998. So for 22 seasons, and that makes him the longest tenured major league coach in Giants history. He's been a bench coach for the vast majority of that period of time, and he's also been a third base coach at the beginning of that tenure and then here now at the end as well. He's also interviewed for a lot of managerial openings throughout the years, and way back in the late 90s, early 2000s, he was considered a hot managerial prospect when he was in his 30s and now he's 59. So it's really hard to say what kind of impression he'll make or what he brings to the table as a managerial candidate for those of us who don't know him and his and how he operates and what his thinking is on all of the changes in today's game and how he would apply those. It's really hard to just speculate and guess. So we're not going to do that, but what I do want to talk about are some of the things mentioned in the article, and we can discuss I just think that some of those points don't necessarily hold up to scrutiny. So I want to at least throw them out there and try to break them down and see if they can hold up. The first point that gets driven home is that Ron Wotus was extremely successful as a minor league manager and that his teams won wherever he went. So here's a quote from Baggerly. It was a quarter century ago, but the accomplishments are no less relevant now than they were then. Ron Wotus was a minor league manager who won wherever he went. So the issue that I take with that is that there's this assumption built into that argument that a manager himself can make a team win. And I just think that we need to examine that argument because I'm not sure that that's true. I think that a team's results have more to do with the players on the field, and you can't have a manager take, you know, in major league terms, a 60 or 70 win team and make them into a 100 win team. A manager just doesn't do that. We don't even know how much they can influence at all, but you're never seeing a true talent team that is bad become good just because of a manager. Baseball is not like some other sports where the manager like designs the plays or anything like that. The players play the game and they basically do what they do. And the only way that the manager can really make a huge impact is if they're innovating. And this is where I don't know if Ron Wotus is someone who, you know, in the 1990s was doing innovative things like, you know, not sacrifice bunting, not falling into the traditional norms of having speed at the top and a number two hitter who would lay down a bunt and three and four hitters who would drive that guy in. Like that stuff was the traditional way that a manager would set his lineup, but it turns out that it's not necessarily the most efficient way to build a lineup. And then, of course, you've got things like defensive shifts, which a manager can theoretically could have employed in the 90s and gained an advantage over his competitors. But if the idea is just that his personality and teaching of fundamentals, which is what is kind of hammered home in this article, is what made him a great manager, I just don't buy into the idea that a manager can have that much of an impact over a team. And same can be said of a bad team. You can take who you might consider the best manager in the game and give him a bunch of untalented players and they're not going to win a lot. So the other point is made in this piece that those teams weren't necessarily loaded with talent and they still won. And if that's true, I need to see some reasons as to why. You can't tell me that a bad team was good under Ron Wotus and that he was the cause. Like that is a bold statement to make. So you kind of have to prove that as opposed to just saying he was the one who made them outperform expectations. So the next line here that I want to break down is, quote, the industry-wide expectation for whatever that is worth is that Zaidi will make an external hire. But while some will view the inclusion of Wotus and Mullins as a courtesy, neither man said they would have agreed to be a part of the process simply out of a sense of obligation or fairness. So that's interesting because it did kind of feel that way, and I said at the time, especially with Wotus, who has been passed over so many times, even before the game dramatically changed as it has, even in an old-school environment, Wotus was passed over for these positions. And so, again, not knowing him personally or what his personal philosophies are towards the game, I just assumed that a new age kind of front office wouldn't necessarily... I just thought he was probably the least likely of anybody to be interviewed to get the position. And that's harsh, but just what I was thinking based on the evidence over the years. And with Mullins, it's a little bit different because I know that he was a finalist for the Yankees opening, and the Yankees are very forward-thinking. And I believe it was down to Mullins and Aaron Boone, and that job eventually went to Aaron Boone. So that's why I gave more of a shot to Mullins, and he's also, you know, he speaks five languages, and that helps as well. Coming up in the second half of the show, there's just a few more lines from this piece in The Athletic by Andy Baggerly about Ron Wotus and his candidacy for this managerial position that I want to break down. So that's all coming up next, but first, everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite team or seeing your favorite band in person. I want to talk about the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program where you can attend these shows and events and earn credit towards attending your next live event through Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is the top source for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price, section, row, sit exactly where you want to sit, all through the Vivid Seats app. And what makes them really stand out here is their Vivid Seats loyalty program, which allows you to earn credit back through something called Vivid Seats Rewards. You can download the Vivid Seats app at the App Store or Google Play Store, and you'll be automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. You can attend the biggest concerts, the hottest games, postseason games, theater shows, and more. Download the app, automatically join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today, and make a memory that lasts a lifetime, and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. If you enter special promo code POSTSEASON at checkout, you can earn a discount of up to $100. When you need red wine at 4 p.m., sushi at 9 p.m., a breakfast burrito at 8 a.m., and ibuprofen at 10 a.m., Postmate it. Postmates is your personal food delivery, grocery delivery, whatever kind of delivery service all year round. Anything you're craving, Postmates can deliver. They're the largest on-demand network in the U.S. and offer delivery from all the restaurants, grocery and convenience stores, and traditional retailers you could possibly want or need. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, Postmates will bring you what you need within the hour. No more trips to the store. You don't even have to know where the store is. Postmates will deliver anything to you. Download the app for iOS or Android for free, browse local restaurants and businesses, and track your delivery in real time. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. Download Postmates and save with code LOCKEDON. Okay, as promised, here in the second half of the show, we're just going to continue to break down some of the lines in this piece that I don't have a problem with the piece at all. I just thought that some of the arguments set forward and some of the lines and some of the quotes from WOTUS himself shed light on maybe who he would be as a managerial candidate here. So the next line, it goes as follows. Quote, as an infield coach, WOTUS has overseen an overhaul in data-driven decision-making as shifts exploded from a novelty to an ingrained part of the game's strategy. WOTUS embraced the analytic advantages while never losing focus on the importance of fundamentals and retaining primary trust in the instincts of players like shortstop Brandon Crawford. So that's all well and fine, but the counterpoint to that is that every single team in baseball embraces shifts. And so it's not some kind of tremendous personal accomplishment when a coach embraces shifting, because every single team does that. And it doesn't make you necessarily like a forward-thinking person. It just makes you on par with the rest of the league. It doesn't make you stand out in any way. So I just think that we can't necessarily glean anything from that information. And the next one is kind of silly, but Baggerly says that there was a year where Ron WOTUS, quote, out-hit Barry Bonds. And WOTUS says, that's right. I mean, his big league career was just a touch better than mine, but I did out-hit him that 1 year. So obviously he's joking, and they're talking about the fact that in 1986, WOTUS hit 315 with his batting average, and Bonds had a batting average of 311. So this is, I'm totally being overly analytical here, but the fact that we're using the terminology out-hit to just simply talk about batting average, and I know that they're joking, but this is like language and terminology that needs to be a part of the past and not a part of the present anymore when we're talking about batting average in terms of hitting, okay? You hear modern managers who are, you know, the best in the game today, they do not talk in terms of batting average. In fact, there was a interview with Aaron Boone in The Athletic, highly worth a read. He talked about the Yankees and kind of their approach to the postseason. And it was very enlightening because it makes you see who they have in Aaron Boone and what kind of a modern manager needs to be thinking like, because he was selected for a very high profile job there. And he called out batting average. The reporter asked him a question as it related, I think it was Giancarlo Stanton's batting average down the stretch and whether that would influence his decision to play him in the postseason, because Stanton missed a bunch of time with injury. And so he was saying, what if Stanton hits 145 in the last 2 weeks? Are you going to hit? Are you going to put him in the postseason lineup? And Aaron Boone's response was, I don't think in terms of batting average. And he went on to say, you know, you got to look at the quality of the at-bats, and you also have to consider on base and slugging. And he basically just said he never thinks about batting average. So the fact that Wotus and Baggerly shared a laugh over him, quote, out-hitting Bonds, it just, to me, demonstrates a little bit of a red flag where we're thinking of hitting in terms of batting average, and that really you do not need at all to use batting average to talk about how to analyze hitting. So when we still talk about batting champion and leading the league in hitting, and we're talking about batting average, that just shows to me that we're behind the times. And really, that should never come up in conversation in kind of a modern major league analytical perspective. So in that year, of course, Ron Wotus had a 813 OPS and Barry Bonds was at 963. So it wasn't even close. Barry Bonds out hit, and OPS is flawed for its own reasons, but it's much better than batting average. So it's not even close, the offensive production. Again, I recognize it's a joke, but it just does raise a little bit of alarm. I do think that it's correct to say that Farhan Zaidi is not going to be sentimental about this. They're not going to make a hire simply out of a sense of obligation to Ron Wotus. He's going to have to earn the job. And so if he does get hired, it means that all of my assumptions that I'm making about him maybe being a little bit too old school for the modern game would be false. And like I said, those are assumptions that don't necessarily have a lot of weight. We were just trying to glean some information from this piece and some of the stuff Wotus said. We'll continue to monitor this managerial search all offseason until they finally make a hire, as well as the GM search. It's just going to be a very, very interesting offseason for the Giants. Coming up tomorrow, we'll talk about whatever the day's most relevant information is. Really wanted to talk about a playoff game yesterday and kind of a philosophical discussion about bunting versus not bunting, but we didn't have time to get to that today, so we might talk about that tomorrow. Remember, to get this show every day, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter at @Cove_cast. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.